Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our third day of our literature unit. Mm. We're continuing to talk about Anne of Green Gables, An Orphan's Imagination, and Ambition. Now, remember, in our last program, we talked about the author herself, Lucy Maud Montgomery, mm-hmm. and we talked about her life and times. And in the first day, of course, we summarized our featured novel, Anne of Green Gables. So now, after having talked about the author herself, we're going back to the story and talk about some themes and subjects and ideas in this story that might make it sound interesting to you.
Right. That's what we usually do on day three. We're going to talk about what the author may have been wanting to communicate with readers. First, though, we're going to read through today's lesson, and then we'll be back to break down some of these themes, some of these ideas, some of the topics in a second.
One of the major themes in Anne of Green Gables is friendship and kinship. As an orphan, Anne grew up as an unpaid servant in other people's homes, taking care of their children. She wasn't treated like a daughter and had no true family or home. Anne had no opportunity to make friends, so she retreated into her daydreams to create them. Once she arrives at Green Gables and adjusts to the Avonlea community, she easily makes friends whom she calls kindred spirits. For the first time as well, she has adults she can look up to, such as Marilla, Matthew, and Miss Stacy. Anne's relationships show that kinship isn't just comprised of blood relatives. She does her best to be a loyal friend and a dutiful daughter, sacrificing her chance for a free university education for Marilla's sake. The pursuit of education is also an important theme. Anne could only attend school occasionally before moving to Avonlea. Her academic achievement is partially a result of her rivalry with Gilbert, and she might not have advanced as far without that motivation. Her choice to get an education and become a teacher shows Miss Stacy's influence on Anne's ambitions. The conflict between imagination and social expectations is another significant theme in the novel. Anne uses her imagination to endure unpleasant situations and enrich her life. She imagines her shabby dresses to be beautiful gowns, and she makes up romantic and wonderful stories. Her wandering mind often causes her to make mistakes, but she works hard to overcome this problem. As she matures, Anne finds a healthy balance between the fanciful world of her imagination and the expectations of the real world around her. Okay, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson, okay. Anne of Green Gables, An Orphan's Imagination, and Ambition. So again, we're talking about some of the major themes in this book. So one of the major themes in Anne of Green Gables is friendship and kinship. Okay, so that's what they talk about in this novel a lot, the idea of friendship, who your friends are, how do you make friends, what do you do when your friends betray you, and things like that. And also kinship, which is similar to friendship. Notice these words have the suffix ship there, which means the state of something, the relationship of something, the condition. So here, kinship just refers to basically the relationship you have with people who are related to you.
Yeah, your blood relatives, as we say. So it's a friendship and kinship idea in this book. So as an orphan, this is before she was taken in by Marilla and Matthew. She grew up as an unpaid servant in other people's homes, taking care of their kids. So you can be a servant in other people's homes, which just means you work for them, probably doing things like cleaning. Maybe if you're a guy, you're outside taking care of the lawn, you know, taking care of the yards. And it's tough work, but you're getting paid. Here it says she was an unpaid servant. So, you know, depending on what circumstances you're born into, sometimes people end up having to do a lot of tough work and not getting paid for it.
Basically, an unpaid servant is a slave, although I don't think she worked that hard. She wasn't whipped and stuff like that, but still, she was working for free in other people's homes, taking care of their children, and she wasn't treated like a daughter and had no true family or home, so she didn't feel like she had a mom and dad or a brother and a sister. She was just a servant taking care of other people's children. Imagine having your childhood robbed like that. You could say,
yeah.
She did not have a happy childhood, and Anne had no opportunity to make friends, so she retreated into her daydreams to create them. So, yeah, as a kid, you're supposed to have your parents, you're supposed to have your siblings, your brothers and sisters, and you're supposed to make friends if you don't have those things, but she didn't have any of those chances, so she had to make her own friends, so she retreated into her daydreams, her imagination, and she created her friends. She had imaginary friends and things like that. She probably wrote in her diary and stuff like that to make up people that she could talk to.
Yeah, even today you'll hear kids who will talk to their imaginary friends. I was just watching a movie, and the child had an imaginary pony, a small horse, and everyone just, you know, kind of laughed. But they tried to act as if it was real for that little child. I had one friend I would talk to if I was playing by myself, you know. Sometimes my sisters are younger than me, and my brother didn't want to play with Barbie dolls. So I would play by myself, and I would talk to my imaginary friend. I think a lot of kids go through that stage. Sadly for Anne, though, she didn't have an opportunity to have real friends. So she retreated into her daydreams. That's when she would use her imagination to come up with imaginary friends who aren't real. So once she arrives at Green Gables and is adopted and adjusts to the Avonlea community, she easily makes friends. Why? Remember, she's really kind. She's fun. She has a generous spirit. Who wouldn't want to be friends with her? If you adjust to something, guys, you get used to it. Sometimes if you start a new school, it's hard at first. But then as you make friends and you get used to your teachers and your schedule, it gets better. It was the same for her. She arrived at Green Gables. Everything was new, but then she adjusted. She made friends, and she called them her kindred spirits. Kindred spirits refers to people who are very similar to you. I have a friend, and I'll say, oh, we're kindred spirits. Like, we think the same. We kind of like similar things. She understands where I'm coming from. We're kindred spirits.
Right, and we don't use this term too much, but it's common enough to know.
Yeah.
If you're with your partner, your wife or your husband or whatever, you could say that that person is your soulmate. And maybe your kindred spirit as well. But in any case, she makes friends with people there in Canada there. Of course, Canadians are very friendly, so it's probably easy to make friends once you move there. And for the first time as well, she has adults she can look up to, such as Marilla, Matthew, and Miss Stacy. So she's got some role models here. She's got some adults that she can look up to. And if you're young and vulnerable, you always want someone you can depend on or to look up to. To look up to means you depend on those people. You're below them, but they kind of advise you and help you along, and you trust them. So, yes, you can look up to them. You usually look up to your parents. I looked up to my father. I looked up to my mother, etc.
Yeah, so if you look up to somebody, that's your role model you're looking to. So it's nice when kids have someone they can look up to. What's hard is when that person does something bad, because you lose that role model. So be someone that others can look up to and follow as a good example. So Anne's relationships show that kinship, and that, remember, that's blood relation, isn't just comprised of blood relatives. Yeah, for her, she found kindred spirits and her kinship with people who were definitely not part of a real family for her, but they actually became family in a lot of ways. They just weren't related through blood. So if you're comprised of something, that's what you're made up of. We also use that word compose. Her circle of friends were was composed of people she looked up to or they looked up to her. Comprise, compose, made up of is another way you can use that. So comprise, compose, made up of. Those are all similar verb phrases. She does her best to be a loyal friend and dutiful daughter, sacrificing her chance for a free university education for Marilla's sake. When I see this word dutiful, I always think of the Chinese culture and Confucius and how dutiful children are to their parents in this particular culture that you guys grow up in. If you're dutiful, you do your duty. You do the things that you're expected to do. You don't complain. You're not selfish. You always are thinking of your parents and trying to do the right thing.
Well, that does sound like a good word for xiao shuan.
Yeah.
Dutiful. I'm a dutiful son. I'm a dutiful daughter. I'm taking care of my parents. I'm returning the favor of them raising me and things like that. So, yes, indeed, she becomes a loyal friend and a dutiful daughter. And in the end, they remember somebody had a heart attack or something.
So Matthew.
Matthew did. So he passed away. So she was going to go for a university education with a scholarship there. It was going to be free, but she sacrificed that. She gave it up because she needed to take care of Marilla. She sacrificed her education for Marilla's sake. And for Marilla's sake here just means for Marilla, for the benefit of Marilla, because she could have gone to school. But Marilla would have been stuck there at Green Gables all by herself to take care of that big farm.
I think they would have had to sell it because Anne didn't go back to take care of the farm. Remember, she went back and was a teacher, but she used her earnings to help pay for the farm and the upkeep. It's expensive to run a farm.
Especially on Prince Edward Island there.
Yeah.
And so, yes, indeed, she went back to help out Marilla there, so she was not able to go to school. And you know what? That brings us to the midway point in today's explanation. It's time for us now to take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天要介绍这本书它所强调的主题。在第一段的第一个句子提到，One of the major themes in Anne of Green Gables is friendship and kinship. 它强调的主题是朋友之间的情谊跟亲属关系。第一段的中间提到 Anne had no opportunity to make friends, so she retreated into her daydreams to create them.在这里提到的呢，是他还没有到达这个艾凡利社区之前，是没有机会交朋友的，所以他就只好躲到自己的幻想里去创造他们。而后面提到 ，Once she arrives at Green Gables and adjusts to the Avonlea community, she easily makes friends, whom she calls kindred spirits.那么一旦呢，他到达了翠绿庄园，适应了这个社区的生活之后，他就轻易的交到朋友，就把这些朋友称之为他的同志。在这里的 kindred 本来是当作形容词，解释成为有亲属关系的，而 kindred spirits 也可以解释成为志趣相投的人。接着第一段的最后一句写着 She does her best to be a loyal friend and a dutiful daughter, sacrificing her chance for free university education for Marilla's sake. Do someone's best 指的是尽其所能，她尽其所能做一个忠诚的朋友跟一个尽责的女儿。Dutiful 在这里解释成为尽本分的跟忠于职守的。所以如果我们说他是一个孝子，我们也可以说他是一个 a dutiful son， 一个非常负责任的秘书，我们就可以说 a dutiful secretary。那么呢，他为了要达成这两个忠诚的朋友跟尽责的女儿这样子的事呢，他就牺牲了呢，他有机会可以得到免费大学教育的机会。为了谁呢 ？For Marilla's sake， 在英文里面 ，sake 当作名词，解释成为理由、缘故的意思。所以 John did it for his own sake， 解释成为 John 会做这件事情，完全是为他自己的利益。再举一个例子 ，He moved his family to a warmer state for the sake of his wife's health。 他把家搬到一个更暖和的州，是为了他妻子健康的缘故。而在这里则是说他为了 Marilla 的缘故呢，就放弃自己可以得到免费大学教育的机会。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We shall now continue with our lesson. Remember, we're talking about some of the themes and ideas in our featured work of literature, Anne of Green Gables. Well, another idea is education. So the pursuit of education is also an important theme, which, of course, is an important theme here in Taiwan. The pursuit of education, getting good grades in school and preparing to go to university and getting advanced degrees.So you can get a good job and make lots of money and, live a comfortable life. So here, of course, the pursuit of education is pretty important there in this novel. And Anne could only attend school occasionally before moving to Avonlea. Remember, she was an orphan living in an orphanage, so she probably did not have lots of opportunities to attend school. She only attended school occasionally. Every once in a while, she was free to go to classes.But then she'd get hired, to take care of somebody's kids or something like that. So she did not have an ideal education. Again, occasionally just means once in a while, maybe 20-30% of the time.
Her academic achievement, is partially a result of her rivalry with Gilbert. And she might not have advanced so far without that motivation. Partially just means only in part or to a limited extent. I've talked about a cousin who is partially deaf before. He can hear a little bit, but he wears two hearing aids that help him. So partially. Partly...we also use that word. Her academic gene was partly a result. You can use that as well. So remember, she would compete with Gilbert, and they would try to outdo each other. I had a guy when I was learning Chinese. I remember this guy heard that I was really fast with my lessons, and he was secretly competing with me. Then I heard it, and I worked harder because I wanted to beat him. So sometimes competition really does help you become better faster.
Rivalry can be important here, but she does have that rivalry with Gilbert, and she might not have advanced as far as she did without that motivation, without that competition. And her choice to get an education and become a teacher shows Miss Stacy's influence on Anne's ambitions. So, yes, she chose to get an education and to become a teacher because, remember, Miss Stacy told her that she should be a teacher. So that's showing that her teacher has had some influence on her. Gee, Miss Stacy's pretty smart. She knows what's good for me. So, okay, I'll be a teacher just like her.
Yeah, a lot of teachers influence their students. I had a teacher in college that really influenced me. So if you have an ambition to do something, it's a really strong desire to achieve something. And usually those people with big ambitions or strong ambitions go on to achieve more than those who set zero goals. It's always good to set a goal. Even if you don't make it completely, you'll certainly do a lot better than people who have no ambition. Ambition also can be used as countable and non-count. If you have a lot of ambition, you're ambitious. It means just you're constantly trying to achieve. Ambitions here refer to separate goals. Okay, so you can actually use replace ambitions with goals and vice versa.
Right.
So there was a conflict between imagination and social expectations. That was another really important theme in the novel, the conflict. If you have a conflict between two things, it's like they don't agree. They don't get along. So it's a serious disagreement or they aren't quite on the same page, you could say. So imagination and social expectations, what you want or what you'd love to have in your head and what you really can actually achieve or get were completely different. Back then, it was tough for women especially. They didn't have a lot of opportunities to achieve outside the home.
Right, that's a conflict. We often use the preposition between. There's a conflict between Sophia and Thomas in the office. They hate each other. They're always arguing. So there's a conflict between them. A struggle. They have differences of opinion. In this particular case, if you have a vivid imagination, that's not really going to help you with your social skills. Maybe they're going to think you're a daydreamer or you're kind of weird. Or if you have an imagination, it doesn't really help your career or something like that. So there's a conflict between imagination and social expectations. That's a big theme in this novel. Anne uses her imagination to endure unpleasant situations and enrich her life. That's understandable. She's an orphan. She doesn't have any brothers or sisters, no parents to look up to. So she needs to depend on her imagination to get through life. Life has all sorts of unpleasant situations, rivalries, competition, and stuff like that. And she also uses her imagination to enrich her life. So here we've got the verb to enrich. That just means to make something higher in quality, to enrich the quality of your life. For example, by getting a better job, better pay, living in a better place, you can enrich your life that way. You can enrich your life by reading a lot or going to museums, having friends and stuff like that. Those help improve your life.
Yeah, you may not have enough money to hop on a plane and go somewhere, but you certainly can turn on the TV and watch some of these travel channels. Those are always fun. Or pick up a book. I love reading. That can always enrich your life. You might not have a chance to meet some of the character types that you'll find in the books, but it's fun to, you know, learn about other people, other cultures in ways that can improve your life. She imagines her shabby dresses to be beautiful gowns. Oh, I love this. So she had no money. If you have shabby clothes, they probably look really old. Maybe they are kind of, ripped a little bit, torn apart. It doesn't mean dirty necessarily. It just means very old. It's certainly not new. Whatever you're talking about is in poor condition. Sometimes because people don't take care of their things, they become shabby. But I'm sure she took care of her dresses. But she would literally, in her mind, pretend she was wearing a gown that, say, Cinderella would wear to a ball, and it made her happy inside. So she used her mind to give her happiness, and she also makes up romantic and wonderful stories. I think that can only help people. As long as you keep your feet on the ground and you have a great imagination, I say go for it. Imagine what you want.
Imagine, but still be realistic about life. Don't totally be realistic,
though. Yeah, keep your feet on the ground is to be realistic, guys.
Yeah, and of course, don't be a total robot. You need to have some kind of imagination. So her wandering mind often causes her to make mistakes. It probably causes a lot of us to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But she works hard to overcome this problem. So she's got a good mixture there of reality and imagination. You can't have too much of one or the other. Otherwise, you couldn't survive. So she overcomes this problem of making mistakes because of her wandering mind, which is another way of describing her imagination. And as she matures, as she gets older, Anne finds a healthy balance between the fanciful world of her imagination and the expectations of the real world around her. Fanciful here just means kind of imaginary, playful, and things that aren't real realistic. So she needs to find that balance. And I think she does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, you were talking about the difference between reality and imagination. I would say reality and fantasy. That's a close word to fanciful. Things that don't exist really, but except in your own mind. But that's not a bad thing, especially if you go on to become an author. You want to have a great imagination so you can come up with really interesting stories. Okay, guys, that brings us to the end of this unit and our 3-day unit on literature. Right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time.
接着我们来看到第二段的第一句提到 The pursuit of education is also an important theme. 另外一个讲的重要主题就是在讲追求教育。在第二段中间的句子提到 Her academic achievement is partially a result of her rivalry with Gilbert, and she might not have advanced as far without that motivation.在这里的 academic achievement 指的就是他的学业成就。他的学业成就之所以那么好，一部分就是他跟 Gilbert 之间竞争的结果。Partially 解释成为部分的。举个例子来说 ,He is partially responsible for the accident, 指的呢，他对于这次的交通事故也负有部分的责任。因为他当时跟 Gilbert 呢之间是有一些仇视仇恨，所以他就很努力的念书。后面的句子提到 ,She might not have advanced so far.在这里我们用过去式的 might 再加上完成式来代表是对过去的推测。当时啊，如果没有这样子的动机，他可能是不会进步的那么多的。接着第三段的第一句提到 The conflict between imagination and social expectations is another significant theme in the novel. 再来讲到的呢，重要的主题就是想象力跟社会期望之间的冲突。Conflict 是我们在很多小说跟故事里面都一定要看到的主要的元素，就是冲突跟分歧。而呢，在这里提到的是想象力 imagination and social expectations 跟社会对你的期望。接着我们来看到在文章的最后一个句子提到As she matures, Anne finds a healthy balance between the fanciful world of her imagination and the expectations of the real world around her. 在她呢逐渐成熟长大的时候呢，她也在想象力所创造的幻想世界 the fanciful world 跟这个实际现实世界所给予的期望之间取得了一个 healthy balance 健全的平衡。 OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed this month's featured novel, Anne of Green Gables, and we also hope you pick up a copy yourself and try to read it. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.